Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY 2023 earnings conference call for BCL Industries Limited, hosted by Quantum Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prashant Sharma from Quantum Securities Private Limited. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Darwin. On behalf of Quantum Securities, we welcome you all to quarter three FY 2023 result conference call of BCL Industries Limited. We thank the management for giving us this opportunity to host this call. The management is represented by Mr. Kushal Mittal, Joint Managing Director. I now hand over the call to Mr. Kushal Mittal. Over to you, sir.
Thank you for the introduction, Prashant ji. Good afternoon, everyone. We would like to extend a warm welcome to the earnings call for the third quarter and nine months ended financial year 2023. Let me start by giving you the key financial highlights for the third quarter. Total income for the quarter was around 536 crores, which declined by 6% on year-on-year basis. EBITDA for the quarter was 42 crores, which is an increase of 16% year-on-year. EBITDA margin stood at 7.86%. Net profit was around 23 crores, which is a decrease of 5.4% on year-on-year basis. PAT margin stood at 4.26%. I would now like to clarify that out of the total revenue mentioned, for Svachha Distillery, the total income for the quarter was 85 crores and EBITDA was about 4 crores, which is an improvement from the previous quarter. For nine months ended of financial year 2023, the total income stood at 1,369 crores, which is a decline of 7.7% year-on-year. EBITDA stood at 82 crores, a decline of 14.4% year-on-year, and margins were at 6.01%. PAT was about 40 crores, while PAT margins stood at 2.91%. For Svachha Distillery, the total income for nine months was about 113 crores with an EBITDA of 2 crores. Coming on to the operational highlights, I would like to start with the distillery segment. We were able to keep steady margins by converting some additional capacity towards ENA, despite the inflationary pressures from fuel and raw material prices in this segment. I'm very glad to say that Svachha Distillery too has begun 100% production after replacing one of the distillation columns. We expect to get two full months of production for Svachha Distillery in quarter four of this financial year. Also, we have begun work for 100 KLPD ethanol-only expansion at Svachha Distillery and have received the necessary clearances for expansion and have also placed all major machinery orders for the same. Currently, the civil work is going on, and we expect to commission this expansion by December 2023. This will have a project cost of around 90 crores. The works for expansion of 200 KLPD ethanol plant at Bathinda is under full swing and is expected to begin trials in March 2023. To hedge against the rising fuel costs, we are setting up a boiler fired on paddy straw, which will be commissioned along with the new 200 KLPD ethanol plant at Bathinda. This will help the company in diversifying its fuel needs, as paddy straw is one of the toughest biomass to utilize, and hence there are very few buyers for this in the market. This boiler also qualifies for the state government scheme in which SGST on the CapEx of the boiler will be refunded back to the company. The CapEx of this boiler is around 40 crores. In the edible oil segment, there has been an aftershock due to the sudden dip in prices of edible oils globally. Retailers and distributors have been averse to keeping excess stock of product with themselves, which has led to a decline in sales. This is expected to normalize in the coming quarters. Lastly, in the real estate segment, we were able to liquidate a land parcel for school site inside the inside what in our colony Ganpati Enclave. This has led to one-time increase in sales in this sector. With that said, I would now like to open the floor up for any questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Varinder Bansal from Omkara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi everyone. Thanks, Kushal, for the brief. I have a few questions. First of all, can you update us what are the latest prices for broken rice and husk prices?
The latest prices for broken rice would be around, depending on the location, between 21 rupees to 22 rupees. And the husk prices will be around 7 to 8 rupees.
Husk has come down, but rice is still high.
Rice also has come down a little. It had gone up to 23 rupees, so now it's on a downward trend.
And how much do we procure from FCI?
See, about half of our procurement of rice is being done through FCI.
Can you please update us also on the palm prices? Like, what are the palm edible oil prices? Because that was the one inventory losses last quarter.
Palm prices as of today, palm prices change minute by minute. But as of today, it's around 820 rupees at port, it stabilized around there. It had been up to 1100 at one point of time.
It went to 1000 in between, right? So it has come down from 1000 to 830, 840, right? You're seeing that?
Yes, and now it's stabilized around this.
Okay, thank you. Second question would be, can you update us, if I heard it correct, you said we will get 2 months of Swaksha this quarter, which is quarter four.
Right. So February and March.
Yes, and you are saying that Bathinda 200 additional will be active in quarter one as well.
Yes.
So which means quarter one we will have total 600 plus operational capacity.
Correct.
And you also said that there is additional 100 you are putting more in Swaksha?
Yes, additional 100 for which we have started the work. The orders have been placed and the necessary permissions are in hand. And currently the civil work is going on. We expect to, bring this 100 KLPD into production by December of this year.
Okay. So from starting 1st April, we will have 600 additional total capacity, right?
Right.
Okay. Any inventory losses or gains this quarter gone by, which is quarter 3?
No, none too significant.
But we incurred loss of 25 crores last quarter, right? Did we recoup the entire loss?
I think majority of it has been done and the rest we should be able to by good planning in the next quarter. It was a tough beating to take last quarter and it takes about two quarters for us to recover.
Okay, I'll join back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. A couple of questions from my side. Starting with carrying on the previous participant's question, you have answered the prices, you've given the prices of broken rice and fuel. If you could just spot and tell us how the trend is shaping up, because what we are hearing is that the Rabi harvest has been very good and the increases are up significantly from what government has estimated is put out. And there should be downward pressure coming on to these commodities. If not now, they should have started. If not started, they should start soon. Your thoughts on the same?
See, you rightfully mentioned that the crop has been very good. Even today, I was reading an article in the Hindu Business Line which said that the harvest has been wonderful and it's a record harvest. But see, we expect the prices to decrease. But I think a major part that is that is affecting these prices is a lot of these rice mills have become quite profitable because of the new government policies, which is a good thing for the overall economy. But once these rice mills are profitable, then they have the power to hold on to material. Then they have the power to hold on to husk, and then they have a power to hold on to broken rice, which earlier they used to sell at whatever rate they could sell on the day because they needed the funds. So now it has become a game of who will blink first. So we fully expect that the prices will decrease, but the decrease hasn't happened very fast because of this one reason.
Understood, sir. So what are the ENA prices prevailing in the two markets you present in?
ENA prices are around 62 to 63 rupees currently.
Okay, 62 to 63. Once the new Punjab unit starts in Q1, you would expect half of the Punjab unit to run for ENA and half to move to ethanol. Is that correct?
See, once the unit... sorry, I might be coughing a little, but apologies for that. Once the unit is started in Bathinda, 300 of the capacity will be diverted towards ethanol, and 100 will be diverted towards ENA for now. Since the old ENA plant is now 11 years old, it requires some modification, and for which we'll take a shutdown of a month in September. So we will be fully modernizing the plant again, and post that shutdown in September, we will make sure that 200 KLPD runs on ENA and 200 KLPD runs on ethanol.
Okay, sir. Got it, sir. And lastly, the Punjab liquor policy is supposed to be out, the new one. I don't know whether it's out or not. Every day the headlines keep changing, as in it's going to be out, the new policy has not yet been started to get drafted. So there's a major swing happening in these two ends. Whatever be the case, what is known for a fact is the previous year's policy was very unfavorable. Do you expect a favorable liquor policy coming out from the Punjab government? And if it does come out, would you be venturing into the IMIL or IMSL segment in the state?
Yes, see, I can't comment on what policy to expect because really I don't have any words to say on it. But if the policy... although the policy, last year's policy had its pros and cons, but if there is not a major shift in the policy, because we as a business, we like consistency, if there is not too big of major shifts, then we will look into launching a IMSL vodka brand. We used to have a brand called Summer Chef, which did very well, and we will be rebranding it and launching it if there's consistency in the policy this year.
Okay, that's the IMSL segment.
Yes, and in the Punjab-made liquor segment, last year we launched a brand for green vodka, which has done very well this year. So we'll continue with that.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you so much for answering your questions. I'll turn it back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Imran from Longbow India Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have a couple of questions on the distillery segment. If you could help us understand your fuel sourcing mix, what percentage is through coal and what percentage is through rice husk?
Yes, so our Bathinda unit primarily runs on rice husk only, and the Kharagpur unit, currently, I'd say about 30% is running on coal and the rest on rice husk.
Okay. All right. And sir, one more question. So your EBITDA, if I look at absolute number for distillery segment, is about 24 crore rupees.
Right.
This is on a base of about 112 revenue, right?
No, a revenue of 151.
Maybe I am missing something here then. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Thanks. I'm done with my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Agastya Dave from CAO Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are audible.
Yes. Yeah, so great performance. I think definitely there is a signs of incremental improvement. And everyone covered the basic raw material and realization key questions. So I'll just stick to the coal prices. I know that you guys have a lot of rice husk, but coal has also been very challenging over the last 1 year. But at least the data that I have access to, the international prices have really crept out over the last 45 days. So are you seeing any like significant correction in the coal cargoes that you are receiving? And how is the situation with respect to fuel prices for you guys? If you can also touch upon, you very briefly mentioned about husk prices, but can you also go into detail how will that dynamic play out? And on the overall fuel picture, how does it look to you? Can we then see the margins reverting back to the best performances that we saw roughly 1 year back, or probably 18 months back? Are we heading in that direction? Thanks.
See, for coal prices, you had rightly mentioned. Yes, there was a decrease, which we experienced in the month of January. But the recent allocation, that we've studied in Jharkhand and Chhattisgarh, there's been an increase again in the prices of coal, which was about, 10 days ago. Okay. Right now, speaking, coal and husk is, when I do a GCV calculation, they're about the same.
Okay.
So it's not benefiting us by using more coal instead of husk. And see, the fuel prices, we see that, it might come down a little. But earlier when, earlier husk prices used to be around 3 to 4 rupees. Now, right. I don't see that happening again. Now it will be around 5 to 6 rupees at least. I think 5 is still wishful thinking. And to combat this and to stay ahead of our competitors, we're installing this rice straw-based power plant in Bathinda, which will help us increase our margin significantly with the added capacity. Because right. we have procured rice straw at a price of 2 rupees 51 paisa for the entire year. This was about...
Can you repeat that number?
2 rupees 51 paisa per kg.
Right.
For the entire year. And even if I were to do a GCV to GCV calculation, this only goes up to 3.5 rupees when I compare it to husk.
Okay.
It is a very tough fuel to handle, but the boiler, the power plant that we're installing is state of the art, and we're very confident in its working. And this will significantly help us, and none of our competitors are doing this.
Yes. So if I look at the way realizations have moved slightly upwards in many of the products, right? And now that raw material prices could be easing, and most likely fuel prices will not be going up at least. So can we expect the spreads to improve incrementally and then stabilize close to the previous highs, or will we be permanently below the previous, the best performances that we saw from the industry?
See, I can't speak for the industry as a whole, but I can speak for my company. I think, the best EBITDA margins that we got from this segment, I think were around 19%.
Yeah.
And today we're sitting at 15.76%.
Right.
Yes, it is realistic that these can go up to 17-18% again. But I don't see, it increasing more than the record 19% that we would have done. And
so slightly below that, but not more than that.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Cool. Thank you very much. All the best. Let's hope for better days ahead. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one on your touchtone telephones at this time. The next question is from the line of Dipesh Sancheti from Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello. Okay. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible. Go ahead.
Yeah. One question I wanted to ask about edible oils is, with the Indonesian ban, how do you see the prices going for the edible oils which we manufacture?
See, Indonesian ban, I think after which prices have stabilized again. So I don't see a significant, impact that the ban will play, because now there's a big indigenous crop of mustard coming in, you know, which wasn't the case about 2-3 years ago when mustard crop wasn't as big. Then there was a good crop of paddy, which resulted in a lot of rice bran oil as well. And sunflower oil has also become a little cheap. So I don't see the prices of edible oil increasing significantly due to this ban.
So yes, you mean that
I think a bigger impact would be, a bigger point to watch would be how China opens up its economy further and whether demand in China increases significantly.
Okay. So we, with the new mustard crop coming in, we will be getting access to more, which will be helping increase our margins, right?
Yes, mustard is very beneficial for a company.
Right. Coming to the distillery one, now, when do you see Swachha turning to black, as in coming visible in the next 2 years?
I'm sorry, can you please repeat the question?
I'm saying that when is Swachha Distillery going to be profitable?
Profitable, I think in a couple more quarters.
Okay, couple more quarters. And we will go full strength in this in the coming quarter in Swachha?
See, quarter four, 2 months of full working. The plant was shut down for about 15 days due to the overhauling. And in quarter one, yes, we expect full working.
And I heard that even Bathinda will be online in first quarter. How much capacity utilization do you think in Bathinda?
See, March will begin trials. The ideal case scenario would be that, you know, we get full capacity utilization for quarter one. But I can't really, as mentioned already, the new power plant that we're installing is brand new technology. And I can't say as of now how long it will take to stabilize that power plant. We're confident that we'll be able to do it in a short period of time.
For the power plant, we've already purchased all our paddy, right?
Yes.
Okay, that is done for the full year.
For the full year, yes.
Okay. And also, I want to thank you that last time when I suggested that will you be doing any preferential offer for raising new capital for the fresh expansion, I think you did have a preferential offer. But just wanted to know how we as investors also can participate in the preferential offer. I mean, can we approach you directly? How is it? If you can just throw light, or you know, you can just send us our email, which email can
see for this preferential. I'm sorry, but it's closed now. But I think our company secretary email is available on our website. I think that would be the right place to reach out. But you know. Going off your advice, I would like to say that this preferential, the funds that will come in from this, will be very well utilized by the company. The company is currently looking into, foraying into further into green energy and diversifying, in starting from Bathinda, the Bathinda unit. And I think we'll have some very, very good and exciting news for our investors in the coming months.
Right. Okay. What is the total debt which you're having, and where do you see it in the next financial, by start of maybe FY25?
See, for BCL Industries, there is about working capital of around 150 crores. We've availed 120 further for the expansion, and there is other about 40 crores against the lease and discounting, and some against the last expansion of our distillery. And for Swachha, the current debt we've taken for 200 KLPD is 70 crores, which includes both working capital and the capex loan. And we are further looking to raise a loan about 50 crores for the 100 KLPD expansion. So that brings a total of about 400 crores. But once post this allotment, we'd be looking to you know, reduce our working capital significantly, and just keep the loans that that we can avail interest subvention on, which is the 120 Bathinda and 70 in Swaksha, because that is cheaper debt for us.
What is the average cost of funding in for that debt?
For the interest subvention?
Yes, for the interest subvention.
So it would be around 4.5% after the interest subvention scheme.
That is the average. For
yes.
The new Bathinda one.
For Bathinda and Swaksha.
Okay. Now, since we have the funds coming in, are we looking at even increasing, I mean, going ahead from 700 KLPD to maybe next 1200 KLPD?
See, there are two perspectives that our management is currently working on. It's either you know, setting up another greenfield ethanol plant, and the state that we have identified for that is Madhya Pradesh, and we are looking at that. Or as I mentioned, we have also considered into foraying further into green energy and moving into a new sector. And I think we'll have a bit more clarity for our investors in the coming months on this.
Okay. And one more question is that what risk do you see in this distillery and ethanol segment? Because so much expansion is coming. There is Global Spirits, there is Renuka Sugar. I mean, the sugar industry is expanding. I mean, there is so much. I mean, I'm sure that there is a lot of demand. But what is the inherent risk do you see? I mean, if there is any policy changes or anything, is that the only risk, or do you see any other risk also? Because it shouldn't happen that there is an overcapacity and then we have to do things in losses.
No, I'd like to explain this, you know, I'd like to explain this question with a little more detail. Firstly, the expansion that is coming in this country is ethanol-based expansion. The easing that has been done in setting up a plant has only been done for ethanol-based plants. If you were to look at any of these new plants coming in, about 95% of these plants will only operate on producing ethanol. And when it comes to a policy, when it comes to ethanol policy, I think this is a very long-term policy that the government has thought of. And there are many benefits to it. So it's not easy for now, you know, once you have the automakers also on board and you've created this entire ecosystem in the past 3-4 years, it's not easy for the government to backtrack on this policy. I'll give you a very good example of globally, that once there is, you know, a biofuel policy in place, how hard it is for a government to backtrack on. If you look, you know, post the first lockdown, you saw there was a global surge in the prices of edible oils. CPO, you know, went to CPO prices skyrocketed. And even then, countries like Malaysia and Indonesia, instead of saying, you know, we'll start exporting more CPO because it's beneficial for us, they were like, no, we will maintain our biodiesel requirements. We will first cater to the local demand of biodiesel, and post which the surplus will be exported. That shows when there is a biofuel policy in a country, it is a long-term policy. There are a lot of people involved, from farmers to rice millers to distillers to oil marketing companies to your automakers. And moving on to the other part, our company is very strategically placed because both our units have the capacity to produce between ENA and ethanol. And that's why, you know, we, if you look at our competitors, I think we're doing better because we have the flexibility, and once the ENA prices are increasing, we might divert a little bit of a quantity towards that. So we have our flexibility, and I think we do our business quite efficiently. And this rice straw based boiler would also be a game changer for us in keeping very good margins.
Mm-hmm. And going ahead, where do we see our liquor business going on? And then do we see that we'll be prominently ENA supplier, or we'll be a consumer of ENA and actually building on a brand and doing more business into our IMFL or Indian liquor?
No, for now, the company does not envision to grow the consumer business significantly. I think even if we were to increase our consumer business, it will be done slowly which will have very, won't have big impact on our balance sheet. We are not interested in that business for many reasons. For Kharagpur, for Sukhla Distillery, we've had interest from bottlers to set up a bottling unit inside the factory premises. Unfortunately, we were very preoccupied by the 6 months prolonged commissioning that it took. And once the plant is stabilized, now we'll start talking to them to see if a bottling unit can be set up there. But no, we do not want to concentrate too much on the consumer business. Instead, we want to grow in terms of capacity or foray further into green energy.
Great. It's a pleasure talking with you guys. That's so good. And I hope that during the next preferential or whenever you're raising funds, you'll keep us part as investors, and really we are very happy to be your long-term investors. Thank you so much. I'll be in the line if there's any follow-up questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bala Murali Krishna J, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers, sir. I would like to know about this distillery volume. So, even our first part distillery is on operational, but still I see there is some lag in volumes as compared to Vaibhav 9 months. Sir. So, could you please give some clarity on that?
See, Sukhla Distillery, as mentioned, the plant was commissioned in late June. But unfortunately, we were not able to bring the capacity utilization to over 60% because there was a faulty distillation column. The column was replaced in late of January of this year. And now starting Feb, we are at 100% capacity utilization for that unit.
Yeah, and one more thing on this fundraiser. It would be good if we came with the rights issue so that minority shareholders also would have participated in that.
Yes, we did get that feedback, and next time we'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, and one more thing regarding the further capacity plans, you are selling something. I missed that. Could you please tell us?
I'm sorry, can you please repeat?
Sorry to interrupt, sir.
I'm further capex plan, so I was telling you regarding the green energy and funds utilization.
I think I'd be able to clarify more in the coming months.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varinder Bansal from Omkara Capital. Please go ahead.
Kushan, I'm sorry. Just two clarifications. One is, can you update, what is the status on this preferential shares and how you intend to use that?
Yes. the preference was approved by the board and the shareholders in the AGM. And we're now waiting on the in-principle approval from both BSE and NSE, post which we'll be able to get 25%, and within 18 months, the remainder. And these funds will be mainly utilized, firstly towards, as I mentioned, we'll be modernizing our Bathinda unit in the month of September, which would cost us around 25 crores. And the rest would be, paying off the expensive debt of the company and utilizing towards the working capital.
Did I hear that for the additional 100 KLPD, you mentioned that you'll be going for additional debt?
Yes, we will be, because that falls under the interest subvention scheme. So it makes sense for us to, raise debt on that project and instead pay off the other expensive debt that we have.
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying that if you guys are able to do 18-19 crore liter next year, right?
Right.
Which is 600 KLPD and additional, I'm not even assuming 100 KLPD coming in next year, right? You said by December something, maybe one quarter we get 100 KLPD of additional Swaksha, right? And
right.
Rice prices and husk prices, what you're telling us, that husk prices have come down a bit and rice prices are almost there or 1 rupee increase. that means that at an EBIT level, you guys will be able to still do 10 rupees per liter.
Correct.
Which means that around 180 crores EBIT should come from only distillery.
Right.
So you will be generating enough cash flows, enough for to take additional debt, but you know, okay, even if you have a...
Hey, but I would like to, you know, clarify here that if we were to expand further, if we were to go in for a greenfield project or if we were to go into some other project, then that project will not be applicable for the interest subvention scheme. So it makes sense for us to fund that project through our internal sources and take the cheap debt when available.
But don't you think it's good, two good options? Either you retire some debt which is already there on the books, or you give it back to the shareholders.
See, we'll look to retire the debt that is on the books. And I think our company has had a good dividend policy in the past and will continue with it. In terms of share buyback, there is no such plan for the company as we're a growing company. And I think we can utilize the funds better by expanding.
So on distillery, I understood that you know, approximately 10 rupees per liter is what, as in, you know, I think you guys have done already and you have guided as well in last few con calls. What about edible oil? Like, edible has been a very volatile segment for us. Last quarter we took a hit because of that, you know, prices crashing down, now they are stable. But do you think we should maintain a run rate of 50-60 crores a bit for the full year, or do you think that something positive is changing in that segment at all?
See, I think, you know, edible oil market has been quite volatile in the past few months. And yes, I think a 50 to 60 EBITDA from that segment would be a good goal for the next year as well.
Are you seeing any green shoots at all in that segment? Because, okay, we keep on talking about distillery, which is a, you know, business which is now touchwood stable. But can you throw some light on edible oil, any green shoots, or still it take a lot of time?
Yes, green shoot is, you know, that the indigenous crops are increasing. With this, the companies, you know, our brand Home Cook and Woolly, we're able to increase our sales in terms of cottonseed oil, rice bran oil, and our mustard oil. And this is a much better business for us and as compared to imported oils. And our brand recognition is also increasing. And we've all just next month we'll be doing a relaunch of our brand. All the packaging will be changing. And post which, I think that our company is looking into investing a little more in marketing to increase our sales and brand presence in this sector.
Got it. So literally we are talking about 240 to 50 crore of EBIT next year.
Yes.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Neeraj Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. So the first one is related to the volumes done by the distillery segment. So I'm referring to slide number 7 on your presentation. So I see that the volumes are compared to year on year. So I'm comparing 2022 quarter 3 and FY23 quarter 3. So the volumes have come down, even though this quarter we had the additional capacity of Swachha, even though not 100%, but we did have partial capacity. So the volumes at least should have increased, right? But they have decreased. So may I know what happened there?
Firstly, I think this graph, you rightly pointed out, I think I should clarify, I don't think this includes Swachha numbers. We'll have that included in our presentation and asterisks to clarify that. But for the volumes, yes, there has been a slight decrease, and that was because, you know, the plant went through a preventive maintenance shutdown for about 15 days in the quarter.
Okay, that's the Bathinda plant, I assume.
Yes. And yeah, we should be, I'll keep a note that we need to clarify now that the new unit has started, which numbers relate to which unit.
Okay. Sorry, did I get you correctly that the presentation that we are looking at does not have the Swachha numbers in it?
Just the volumes I'm saying.
Yeah, volumes, the Swachha volumes are not part of this.
No.
The numbers that we see.
No.
Okay. So that is one. And the other bit is related to the rights issue that the preferential allotment that you did. So like a couple of other investors have already voiced out, like I'm also a long-term investor in ACL Industries, and when I heard about the preferential issue, I had mixed feelings. I'm glad that you have backing of other investors as well. But as a long-term investor, I would have loved to be part of that issue. So may I understand, one, how are the investors for the preferential issue were decided? And number two, how can we be part of any subsequent such issues? I know that this question has already been asked earlier. But yeah, first question that how are the current investors for the preferential issue decided?
See, we had an interest reach out to us, and post which we decided to go ahead with this issue. And yes, in future we'll keep your query in mind and move ahead accordingly. But
if we have to show interest for any future such capital raise, so should we write to your company secretary to be in the queue for next such raise, if any?
Yes, I think that would be the best way to move forward.
Okay, thanks a lot. And for the 100
Sorry to interrupt, sir. We request you to kindly rejoin the queue for further questions.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Imran from Longbow India Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, can you help us understand, your power and fuel costs better for the distillery segment? If you can, throw some light, maybe Q-on-Q increase or maybe decrease or it is flat, some percentages, that would be very helpful.
See, this power and fuel cost, there's different companies calculated differently. The way we do it, we try to calculate it per liter, how much we're spending on steam. And, this used to be around 12 rupees. There were times when this used to be around 10 to 12 rupees, which is now increased to 14 to 15 rupees a liter. And that it's been around that for the past, 6, 7 months or so, or longer, I'd say, 9 months. And the slight revision upwards or downwards, but it's been around that.
So it's like a 20% kind of impact?
Yes, there has been an impact. And, similarly, we've seen ENA prices increase along with it as well.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suresh Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, in quarter four, in such a distillery, will we be PAT positive?
I think it's a little early for me to comment on that. I think we should wait.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one at this time. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Varinder Bansal from Omkar Capital. Please go ahead.
Michelle, my last question will only be on the cost. While we understand the quantity and we understand the selling price, do you think that there could be any disruption which could come from the cost side which could impact the margins? I understand that the multi-boiler also what we are putting out, but that will only be for the additional 200 KLPD which comes in the presenter, right?
No, I think that would cater to about 60% of our total steam requirement.
So which means that on the distillery front, 10 rupees is the ideal, you know?
Yes.
Which the company should generate.
Yes.
Okay, good luck. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good luck. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phones at this time. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
I'd like to thank Quantum for hosting the call, and I'd like to thank all the shareholders and investors who took time to join us on this call. It was a pleasure to answer your question, and we as a management are working towards ensuring that we keep giving you better results moving forward and keep growing, and we thank you to be part of our growth story.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Quantum Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.